Welcome to Kjellandren Björk. First off, we've spent the last 7 years talking to leaders, thinkers, and creators about the future. And we actually think that the future is more of an attitude, a way of perceiving challenges, changes, and obstacles as opportunities to be explored with curiosity. We usually have our conversations in Swedish, but since the future is getting more global, so are we. And more, we're having our talks in English, and this is one of them. And today, we're live from Tech Arena Zero. So, Tech Arena Zero is a summit in Stockholm addressing some of the most critical changes to society. It's a day of important discussions about the road to zeroing these challenges and creating a more sustainable planet. And these challenges are immense, but so are the opportunities. So in this Road to Zero series, we're narrowing in on what problems to solve, what solutions to focus on now, how to execute, and how to scale. And we're joined by six people who each have their own perspective on the future, on what's important and what to prioritize now. So will we have clean and sustainable, stable and affordable energy here in Sweden in the future? Well, honestly, it depends. And we got talking to Miriam Münisch-Wass about this. And she's spot on from this conversation. Miriam is the business policy expert in climate and energy at Teknikföretagen, the Association of Swedish Engineering Industries. And in that capacity, she's representing over 4,000 members, an ambitious agenda, and, well, I think the best way to put it is people in Sweden that want to lead the climate transition in the world. So one way of perceiving this is we are at an historical turning point. And if we can agree on opportunities and work together, and if we can agree on direction and ambition, and if we align a bit, we might actually start an energy revolution. And that, my friends, will provide clean and sustainable, stable and affordable energy for us, starting now. So let's listen in. We're live from Tech Arena. We are talking the next generation of electricity, and we give you Miriam Münisch-Wass.
We're here with Miriam.
Yes, hello.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, how are you today?
I'm very fine.
No lunch yet?
Not yet, but I'll have some lunch later.
Could you tell us about... I say it in Swedish. Teknikföretagen, the Association of Swedish Engineering Industries.
Teknikföretagen is a branch organization representing the technology industry in Sweden. We have approximately 4,300 members, and they are in the technology industry.
So we kidnapped you just as you walked off stage here. What did you guys talk about?
We talked about electrification today.
So anyone who has opened the newsfeed in recent years has noted that electrification is underway and the everyday electricity sector has become like a hub of interest and a hub of innovation, I would say. What's happening here?
It's a revolution.
Yeah, cool.
We'll move from, in a world perspective, using a lot of fossil fuels, but now we're moving into electricity instead. Much better in terms of climate change. And in particular, in Sweden, we have an advantage because we already have fossil-free electricity. So we just need to produce more, however, much more of that.
So there's some different aspects to this, I'm guessing. I don't know anything about electrification, and I guess you can help us here. But there's the producement part, and there's the distribution part, and there's a market part, and there's certainly a lot of other parts as well. What parts do we need to change to accelerate the electrification?
In order to electrify, we need a lot more electricity, of course. Hence, we need to produce much more electricity within our borders. We can, of course, import, but it's important to also produce it within the country, for security reasons and other reasons. So we need to produce a lot more. Today, we produce about 140 terawatt hours within Sweden. We think, and a lot of other research organizations that have come up with scenarios, that we will move to about 300 terawatt hours in 2045. So we need to more than double the production compared to today. And that's an enormous challenge, of course. But we have done something similar before when we started building our nuclear power plants. It was quite fast to develop all those plants that we used to have in Sweden. Nowadays, some of them have closed down. And for us, it's important that we start thinking in terms of nuclear again. But yes, we need a lot of more production. We also need to invest a lot in our transmission system.
Yeah. It comes down to the wire, right?
Yes, it comes down to the wire and the net. And it's both the main lines from north to south of Sweden, because we have currently all the production in the north of Sweden, more or less, while south of Sweden lack a lot of electricity supply. Hence, we need to transfer from the north to the south. And we, of course, need to build much more in the south as well. But the transmission network is very important. And we also need to be able to electrify on the countryside, all over Sweden, not just around the main cities. We have seen recently that a lot of new industries are interested in the north of Sweden to put up new facilities there. So they will need their electricity in the future. And all those companies that also have possibilities to develop in the south of Sweden, they will need new electricity in their own surroundings, sort of. But the electricity system is very complex. It needs to be balanced every minute. So you have to have a sufficient amount of supply and also demand at the same time. And if you don't have that, there are technical solutions that you can use. For example, batteries and other storage facilities like hydrogen. We have talked about hydrogen here today. That's very important for the future as well. As well as the electrification, we also need to have other kind of energy forms. And hydrogen is one. Because when you have a lot of wind, for example, you can store the wind in terms of hydrogen in large storage facilities underground. And that can be used directly into the industry and industrial processes.
If I observe how I perceive the energy system looking back, I see it as a centralized kind of system where something at the core of it produces everything and everyone out in the nodes are just consuming. But when I hear you talk, I take in that we need to make this a bit, the guys in the south needs to have production in some sort as well, so we get resilience in this system.
Decentralized system.
Yeah, that's a good word. Am I on the right workshop?
yes, you are, definitely. Since I mentioned that we need balance every second, every minute in the system, you need to produce to keep that balance and to be able to also retrieve from the north of Sweden. We have to have production that come in from the local level down in the south just to keep the balance. But this is the physiological part of it, and it's quite difficult to... I'm not a technician myself or engineer, but I try to learn these aspects.
Me neither, podcaster.
You sound like one, a bit, I guess.
So we haven't mentioned batteries yet. How central are batteries for net zero emissions?
Batteries are very central. The new green batteries will be used in particular in the transport industry, where they move towards electric cars and other vehicles, buses and so on. But batteries are also very important in the electricity system itself, because batteries can store electricity. So when we have a lot of wind or solar power, it's now possible to store that for a while. The batteries are today not huge. They cannot store huge amounts of electricity. But I think in the future we will be getting to have much larger batteries. But at the moment, they are sufficiently big to store the capacities that are produced while we have a lot of sun and a lot of wind. But they are still expensive. That's a challenge for us, because we want, or our companies, they also want the electricity price to be low.
Yeah, definitely.
We
yeah.
cannot spend a fortune and state money on building an infrastructure that is very costly, because it's going to be reflected in the prices. So we need, in order for us to transition, all our members that want to transition and produce green products in the future, they also need competitive prices and reasonably stable prices, because if there is a lot of volatility in the price, you get sort of nervous as an investor. You don't know where to go in the future.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The risks are increasing of investing in something that costs billions.
Yeah. I'm thinking this might be a good opportunity now, because me as an end consumer, and you, Andreas, we've been talking about the energy prices, of course, as a normal citizen now. This wasn't on the table at all for us for all our lives. We have been dependent on some very elegant solution, centralized solution, and now we're not. So, and that's going to reflect everything in life, I guess. And that's what I'm taking from what you're saying, Miriam. And that needs to be stabilized, and as well as some sort of future in it, because we can't go back doing what we did then. We need to go forward. So when you talk with politicians and members and the other actors around you, do they share your vision? Are you in agreement on the vision and the components of the vision? Is that conversation done? Or what's the state of the vision, I guess?
Yeah, I think we very much agree in society in general where we are moving.
Yeah.
That we need a transition, we need to reduce emissions, and we need to take care of the general environment. So there is no way back. And this is also good for everyone. It's going to create new jobs. And it gives a lot of other welfare, positive welfare aspects. So I think we have both the general public and the politicians with us. This is the way forward. But of course, we need to work together in order to complete it and achieve it, because there are challenges on the way, of course, and electricity and sufficient electricity supply is one of the challenges.
Yeah.
We have quite a new government here in Sweden now as well. Does this represent any changes for you guys? And the question that you asked there, Mats, what do we need to do? Do we have this like Marshall Plan for electrification? Is it clear enough? Is it bold enough? What's happening there?
Unfortunately, we don't have a Marshall Plan. I wish we had. But the previous government set up a strategy for electrification. That strategy, we don't really know what is happening with it.
Mm.
We know that certain work are continuing from that session or that period. But now with the new government, it's a little bit difficult to know what they want to
yeah.
do. We read and we meet them, but we would like to have a clearer, more transparency from our government in order for them to inform us of where they see we are heading.
So, government listeners.
Yeah,
continue listening in.
Now, I'm totally getting that. I'm just going to react a bit on what you're saying, Miriam. This is a complex area, as you've stated. And when complexity increases, the clearness in goals needs to be more crisp. And I understand that the new government needs some transition time, but not too much, but because otherwise we won't get steel in the ground, we won't start building with the 4,000 plus members going in a similar direction and stuff like that. That type of activity, which I get that we need now, can't start. How long do we get them? They're listening now, Miriam. How long? When would we want that strategy?
We want it now, as soon as possible.
On Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, next week would be great. Certain things are more important than others. Of course, the details they can set later, but at the moment it's very important to know the sort of targets. Yeah. Do they stay with the targets? We have targets for 2030, different kind of climate targets. We have targets at the EU level. Of course, we need to live up to them.
Yeah.
But the national targets, we need to know that they are clinging on to those and stick to them. And for businesses in general, it's very important to have long-term conditions. We don't know what to invest in otherwise. So please, politicians, come forward. Be clearer, be transparent.
Yeah, and 4,000 members, mm-hmm. That's quite a bunch. What's their attitude towards this issue? Do they have like a common attitude? I guess that there's so many industries represented there, and I figure they're on a different maturity level,
yeah.
All of them, pretty much. But what's the attitude among your members?
Interestingly enough, they are very harmonized when it comes to climate change.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are all very keen that we tell the politicians to keep the leadership in the world when it comes to climate transition.
Yeah. Right.
They want us to have clear, ambitious targets in Sweden. And of course, with the right kind of policy solutions and policy measures in place.
Yeah.
That's very important. They don't want to be told that you have to use this technology or that technology or sort of being restricted. They need flexible policy instruments. But they are sort of they're talking with one voice, which makes my job much easier because they are very clear on what they want.
I just need to react a bit on that as well. I'm astonished that the industry sector, the tech sector, is so clear on what they want there. And it's bold and mature. We've been talking with the industry leaders quite a bit for a while now. And these things, the material I see from a strategic perspective coming out from the sector, circular economy, how to be sustainable, not just in the wordings, in the market, in the processes, in the business parts, they're starting to be really mature. I don't know what this is worth, but that's what we're seeing as well. So you have your members aligned. If you can get the goals, then we'll reach your quite ambitious targets. And I'm getting it right.
Yes. I think for us, there is nothing else than moving towards the targets and completing them and achieving those goals that we've set. And of course, that is also good business.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We see the future as a bright future where they can prosper, of course, to attract investments in Sweden so that we can export these technologies and we can also facilitate the transition in other parts of the world. They have high ambitions when it comes to climate transition.
We're talking about politicians here, your members and businesses. We also have academia here. What conditions can we create together between business and academia and politics, you think, for this to move this electrification ahead?
The academics are very important. That's where sort of ideas come from. We need to develop new technologies, even if we have a lot of technologies for the electrification already. We still need to develop those technologies and we need to create more technologies. And for that, we need research. And researchers, they are very important. And I think it's very important that we come together and sit together and see what can I contribute with and exchange views and ideas and create yeah, we need platforms where we can create new ideas and new solutions and work together forward.
But this area, the complex area, the sustainability area, where electrification is one part of it, one big part of it, it also, it's hard to get attention. We're observing that it's hard to get attention on topics. Which topic is the most important in the sustainability area? And that as a background, do this issue get enough attention, the attention it deserves?
I think in a Swedish perspective, yes. We talk a lot about electrification, at least in the area and with the people that I talk to daily. Electrification is very high up on the agenda.
Yeah.
So I think it gets enough attention. There are other areas that should get much more attention, but doesn't get it. So, for example, circular economy and how to develop policy measures that can facilitate and incentivize businesses to rethink how to circulate material, yeah, and reuse them and make a business case out of it.
Definitely, yeah.
That's a difficult area. Climate change we have dealt with for a long time, and we know what the policymakers should do. But there are many other environmental areas that we need to step up and work much more on.
Definitely. One thing that I'm interested in is it feels like we're discussing in society, if we look at the societal debate, if you will, our legacy infrastructure, the must-dos, we need to do this. Are we talking, do we need more visionaries, bold ambitions, talk about all the possibilities that Sweden can create if we, when the world switches to electricity and energy storage?
I think we try to put on a positive picture from our viewpoint. There are so much willingness, ambition, creativity among our members, and they are they think that we can revolutionize and really contribute, and that the future is bright.
Yeah, so really about using your platform and being getting all these members' voices out there and just supporting these guys, making the making their bold moves,
and
I guess.
Yeah, that's a good start, and also to that you take this up and talk about it positively, and also want to contribute with the positive messages, and that of course is a message to all media.
Yeah.
We should not focus on all the problems and challenges that we have ahead. It also gives enormous opportunities for our economy, for our people, for the welfare. I mean, this is the future, and we need to. It's a basic to take care of the environment and, yeah, and reduce emissions.
And that's also something that we've been following this field, I guess, for 10 plus years, and we've been doing this for 7 years, and something that I'm thinking why it is like that. When we talk about the problems we're going to solve, we don't talk about the opportunities it's connected with, and it's basically only opportunities if you have the right viewpoint on it. And I think that up on stage today and the other forums here around Tech Arena, it's focused more on opportunity. But in general, we're not talking opportunity, and I don't understand why. It's something with attitude I don't get.
I think it's media in general.
Yeah,
they are quite pessimistic. They always want to pick up on the problems. And of course, you have to, when you do an analysis, you have to pick up the problem first. What is the problem? And then
definitely
find the solution. But when you have seen the problem, it's better to move towards the solution and talk about it and see the possibilities. And that's what I always try to do in my work. I need to do my analysis. I need to know what the problems and the challenges are. But once I know them, move on.
Yeah.
We have so many opportunities, and we have to think about the opportunities when we think about our little children,
yeah,
running around as well. I mean, it's their future,
yeah,
and we're going to give it over to them soon to take over. And we must give them a positive picture of the future, even if there are many problems around us.
Yeah. The other day, my son asked me, and he's 6 years old, he said, Pappa, visst är världen en magisk plats? Oh. And I don't know how to translate it into English. Is the world
a magic place?
Yeah,
magic
can you place. Confirm to me that the world is a magic place? Yeah. And that was so cute, but it was also like, because I
hope you said yes.
Yeah, I said yes, but I've just read this media article about these glaciers melting and all that, so it's, you know, double feelings here. So I totally agree. But looking ahead, if we jump into the future, let's say if we sit down here at Tech Arena on Zero 2033, what would we be talking about, Miriam?
Hopefully that we have achieved a lot over the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. That we have managed to electrify and move towards a more or less carbon-free society. That's very ambitious. Mm-hmm. We don't need to reach a carbon-free society until 2045 in Sweden. But still, I think we are. We can see huge developments. If we can all work together, I think we need to produce a lot more fossil-free products. And we need to produce much more fossil-free electricity.
I'm looking forward to that conversation, yeah.
I totally subscribe to that. And I think we'll have that conversation as well. We'll just be cheerful and applauding ourselves that we actually succeeded.
We managed together.
Yeah, yeah. It was a treat having you in our podcast, having this conversation. It's actually very hopeful to hear you talk about the opportunities going forward.
Thank you.
And if you believe, yeah, thank you so much. And if you think that you can support this transition, yeah, anyway, coming in with bold ambition, positive attitude and all that, reach out for, yeah, Teknikföretagen or us in the podcast.
Yeah, we're not as big as Teknikföretagen, but we'll facilitate the contact. Mm.
That's very good. I appreciate that. And thanks a lot for this talk. Very interesting to talk to you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. What do you think? We're very glad that such an impactful organization as the Association of Swedish Engineering Industries sees the opportunities here. I mean, everything you see built in our advanced society is built by these guys. So when they say that they want to lead, things are going to happen. So that's one of the big takeaways that Andreas and I had from talking to Miriam. What type of opportunities do you see in your sector? How far ahead are you with the energy transition and perhaps circular economy? Be sure to check out Teknikföretagen, the Association of Swedish Engineering Industries, to see if they can inspire you or if you can inspire them. This conversation you just listened to is part of a series of 6 conversations that we call Road to Zero series. So be sure to check out the rest of them as well. And again, thanks for listening, for your support, for your engagement, for your subscription. Have a fantastic day. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye-bye.